Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Summer is off to a scorching start from the Midwest to New England. Leo Savadara owns a taco truck in Philadelphia.
Outside is hot, inside is even hotter. So it's always 10 degrees more. But yeah, it's really hot.
Boston schools closed early for the summer. Tropical storm Alberto made landfall along Mexico's Gulf Coast early today, killing at least three people. 15 people were wounded during a Juneteenth celebration in Oakland, California. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller is urging Americans not to travel to Russia for any reason.
You run a tremendous risk by traveling to Russia of being detained, being imprisoned, being convicted.
Today, Ksenia Karolina, a dual U.S.-Russian citizen, went on trial behind closed doors. She's accused of treason by fundraising for Ukraine. The Dow closed higher, NASDAQ and S&P lower. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A committee of professors at UW-La Crosse is deciding whether disgraced former Chancellor Joe Gao should lose his job as a tenured professor. Interim Chancellor Betsy Morgan says she can't trust Gao after he made online porn.
My level of trust in the ability for him to be able to be an effective faculty member is very low. And my level of trust for him to sort of protect the university's best interests is low.
A two-day hearing wrapped up Thursday morning. Gao lost his top post at UWL late last year. He maintains he did nothing wrong. Wisconsin has had 24 tornadoes already this year. The latest was Monday in Colby. There were only 23 tornadoes all of last year, which is average. The record for a season in Wisconsin was 62 in 2005. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The public hearing for former UW-La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao will continue today in Onalaska in an attempt for him to keep his tenured faculty position. Gao was fired by the Board of Regents as chancellor in December when UW officials learned he was making pornographic videos. If four members of the five-person panel agree to fire Gao, they will pass the recommendation on to Interim Chancellor Betsy Morgan, who originally filed for Gao's dismissal. The next step would be a hearing with the Board of Regents. Work on the new bridge that connects Crawford County, Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa is on hold due to high water. The Mississippi River is in action stage, according to the National Weather Service, leaving the construction site for the new bridge underwater. The 93-year-old existing bridge, which was closed earlier this year due to structural issues, remains open. A live video feed of the bridge construction run by the Iowa DOT shows construction materials underwater. The river is expected to crest near the end of the month. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A good night for the Brewers' Freddie Peralta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 2-0 win over the Angels. After a couple of rough outings, the Brewers' ace, Freddie Peralta, pitched six scoreless innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Freddie was terrific. His focus was really good. He was consistent. When his windup and delivery are consistent, his pace is consistent. Really proud that Freddie battled the way he did tonight.
It's the Brewers' fourth series win in a row. Tonight, they open a four-game set in San Diego against the Padres. NFL former Packers tackle David Bakhtiari on ESPN asked, how does he think the Jets will do with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think it's very wise for any betting man to say that Aaron Rodgers is not going to make the playoffs. I mean, if you even just look at his total career, he's only missed it a very few times. And most of the times he has missed has been from injury. And I know even I've been on one of the teams, even when he did miss the majority of the season because of injury, he still came back.
That's David Bakhtiari with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and Friday, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the mid-60s, high near 80 Friday, and pockets of heavy rain. Storms around again Saturday, more heavy rain possible, a high into the low 80s. Beautiful Sunday, sunshine, and a high again, low 80s. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the talk of lacrosse. Eagle,
this is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Well, it's at least one of us. It's Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, we said sometimes, you know, some of us have other things and families that need to be attended to. So it's Anya's on the board.
Hello, hello.
Tim's in Ohio, and our guest, Nancy Flanagan, she's joining us. Yes, that Nancy. You know, people are like, has she been on before? Yes, she has been on. Well, I think one of my favorite Nancy Flanagan episodes, though, was the...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Which
Jingle
one?
Bells, right? Yeah.
Right. That was one of my favorite episodes. But before we get into it, though, one of the most important things I'll say tonight, and I'll say it again towards the end of the night, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its crappy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again. One beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And how about that, Nancy Flanagan? Did you know you could buy progressive beer? I bet you didn't know that, did you?
I did not, but I am planning to as of right now.
Yeah, so. You can get progressive beer, you can get progressive coffee, and you can get progressive all kind of paraphernalia. Yeah, we've got this great Minocqua Brewing Company in Minocqua, and also their tap room now in Madison, Wisconsin, and they are our first truly official sponsor of the show, and just... Yeah, truly making beer great again and making Wisconsin great again. So, all right. So we got Nancy. Now, Nancy, I told you before the show started, I'm going to try something on you. I've got an introduction here, and we're going to leave this open to us so that everybody knows, because we're not going to be like, oh my God, when is somebody using AI? When is somebody not using AI? This is an AI generated intro. I haven't shared it with Nancy yet, and I'm just going to use it. And Nancy's first thing is she's going to say, that sounded okay, or go like, no, that really sounded crappy like AI. So, because we want to see this out there. But today we're ripping apart the sanitized narratives with none other than Nancy Flanagan. Nancy is a badass teacher and a fearless blogger who doesn't shy away from the gritty realities of teaching in today's messed up political landscape. Her latest blog, Ignoring the Real World in the Classroom, is a battle cry against the cowardly directives that keep teachers from discussing the truth with their students. If you've ever felt the frustration of being told to shut up about things that matter most, this one is for you. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Nancy Flanagan. Okay, what do you think of that for an intro?
Wow. Yeah, well, it's like the AI writer read my blog and substituted the word cowardly for it. So yeah, but I answer to that
Okay.
That's really good.
Well, we're doing with this, you know, and I shared this though, but yeah, it's you know, people are like, well, why does his AI sound like it's a little bit better? You know, here's the thing, people using AI, it takes some time. First of all, I will admit I am now paying for the what they call a frontier model. It's much better. But I've trained it. If he could do that. No, I don't take it out for a walk and show it where to go to the bathroom. But I've trained it by having it read and learn every blog I've ever written over the past 15 years to try to give it a kind of a voice. And then I've also now found an ability for it to listen to Busted Pencils podcasts so that it can get a feel of the show. Yes. And so now as I'm using it as an assistant or co-intelligence, I'm now asking it to kind of help me do with some of the show prep. And so that is an introduction it prepared. And it just didn't spit it out. So I know people are going like, it doesn't do that. It sounds generic. It will sound generic. If you sit down with ChatGPT 3.5 and just say, hey, write an introduction for a show I want to do, it's going to write something really crappy. So anyway, all of that, Nancy, love the blog though. Got to jump into you. Start though right off, Jess Piper. Jess has been on the show, Dirt Road Democrat. She's got a piece.
Amazing.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Enjoy, love when she's on the show. But you hit about a piece that she wrote about that during on January 6th, what happened. Mm-hmm. But then as a teacher, she went in and those darn students started asking her questions about what the heck was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She was an English literature teacher.
Right.
And so right away, her first thought was, is this English literature that I'm talking about? Like we would, like every single person would do, you know, mm-hmm. Okay, can I talk about this? You know, what's going to happen? And she finally just said, it was huge. I mean, here it is on TV. People are, you know, climbing the walls and bashing through the windows. And it's all on television. The whole nation is watching. And so she just actually described what she said. And it was just a bit of truth. Yep. Mm. You know, it's an insurrection. They're attacking the Capitol. Well, who's attacking the Capitol? Americans.
Right.
And why? Well, I don't know. But here it is. It's mm-hmm. happening right now. And
and that isn't the surprising part, right? Because anybody who's been a teacher, anybody who's been a student out in, you know, and you've had these moments happen where it's like, hey, guess what? You talk to your teachers, you ask them about that. Mm-hmm. And however, what's interesting though, is what happens after.
Yeah.
With the old, and I've got my own stories about this, but the, you know, you shouldn't do that, Jess Piper. And in fact, the administrative body of the school jumps mm-hmm. in and gets involved. I remember my, you know, people say whether it was the Challenger moment for the space shuttle different times. Mine was, the terrorist attacks, and it wasn't me because I was actually teaching in a college at that time, and mm-hmm. I was helping my social studies method students deal with that moment. And my brother was a sixth grade teacher, and he was taking a lot of heat from his principal about not teaching what was happening. No terrorist attack. Get back to your lesson plan. Do what you're supposed to be doing. We will not acknowledge that the country has just been attacked. What is going on with that?
Exactly the same thing happened to me. I remember that like all of us, I remember that day very clearly. And because it was September 11th, I barely knew the kids that were in my classroom. And we had been in a fire up assembly with a guy with rainbow suspenders. And he was talking about the kids, you know, you got to go out there and you got to make this the best year yet. And the kids are all like, you know, and go back to the classroom. And we're in a brand new building and we all have TV monitors in our rooms, unlike most teachers in America. And we're coming out of the assembly, and another teacher who has, you know, ducked out of the assembly says to me, turn your TV on when you get back in your room. And we did. And, of course, saw the second tower come down. Mm. And the kids were panicked, you know, kids whose dads had left on business trips that morning, and they were mm-hmm. taking all the airplane. And then, of course, there's a line of cars coming to pick students up because parents right. don't want them. They want their kids at home. Sure. You know, it's a national crisis. And then the principal, you know, he comes on and says, everybody return the same thing. You know, everybody return to your lesson plans. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You're mm-hmm. ready to go back to our lesson plans as this, you know, the kids yeah. got called out. And it's absurd. There are reasons to.
Right. I was going to say there's. Yeah, we're not silly.
But this is where teacher professionalism comes into play. I mean, teachers should know how to deal with this with the kids in front of them.
Well, we got Anne from Chippewa Falls. The admin is afraid of the parents. That's the problem. Yeah, I think so. You know, and because my first question here, Nance, was to say, it's like, you know, why do we think that school leaders are so afraid of teachers discussing real world events? What is it?
Anne gets it. No principal wants to get a phone call from an angry parent. No, none of them do. And long term, I think the solution or a way to address this is, and don't laugh, we get better people to be administrators. I mean that really sincerely, that most of my administrators, and there were 20, 30 some over the long time that I taught, most of them were former teachers who thought they could do more by leading a school. They were the good guys. And that the goodness, the caring about kids and being fired up about innovation, all of that goes away when they start the job. Okay, when they start the job and they realize, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this. They're taking direction from above, a superintendent maybe, or the state, you know, and we're coming around to check on you. And so if they were courageous, it would allow a lot of teachers to be courageous and to address problems like that.
It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, the blog Teacher in a Strange Land, the title Ignoring the Real World in the Classroom. And we've got Anne is L.A. Tom's sister. Man, all kind of little chat things coming in here. Anne from Chippewa. And I do want to say, Cam, and this is back to how we started the show. Cam was so, now if you want a day off, we get Dr. Robot. And then he's like, hey, I've used it plenty to teach me more programming. And I feel like I enjoy learning again. Interesting. So commentary on AI. Our talk, though, really tonight, though, when those moments come up in you know, history, the insurrection, the challenger, the terrorist attack, what is it with administrators and them trying to make things act as if things are just go back to teaching your spelling lesson? Because we're going to keep answering that question more with Nancy Flanagan, Busted Pencils, right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
But we always need your help. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan. She blogs Teacher in a Strange Land, the blog Ignoring the Real World in the Classroom. Or when things happen in the real world, what is it with administrators, whether they're principals, superintendents, that kind of run around the school and saying, you all teachers, ignore the reality that's happening in the world right now. As you were saying, Jess Piper, January 6th, the insurrection's going on. Kids are asking questions. And the response is, we don't want to talk about that right now. Nancy, somebody out there is saying, though, going, well, that's because some students might get upset. And so the principals are just protecting kids. What's your response?
Yeah, you know, there was one, I was in a school system with four elementaries, and there was one of the principals, an elementary principal, who went to every classroom and sat down in the rocking chair or whatever and talked to all of the kids at their age level. You know, a thing has happened, you know, airplanes have hit buildings, and you know, if it's there were little kids, he would tell them, your teacher is here, your mom and dad are okay, I'm here in the building, we're all watching out for you, you are safe, and right. You are fine. And, you know, your mom and dad will talk to you more about this when you get home. But this has happened. He went class by class to every class, took, you know, more questions from the fifth graders than the kindergartners. Sure. But he was. And of course, the next day, all of the teachers in his building were talking about this. Bill came around. He talked to the kids. When the kids cried, he cried, too. He said, it's scary. Sometimes scary things happen. I mean, he was wonderful. And so that's why when I said, if all of our administrators were better, if they were all wanting just to be, you know, the best principal teacher, they could go a long way toward that. Now, the other side of that is that there are now state legislatures that are trying to pass laws from someone trying to be like Bill, to talk to kids about a terrible national tragedy and make them feel better and, you know, set them up to understand it eventually. There are people who don't want that. I think that's the question we need to be asking. Why?
Yeah, that's the part I was thinking about, too, is, you know, and even it sounds like to me, you know, you had a leader there. Let's use the right terminology. They just happen to be an administrator, but that's a leader. and that's what leaders do. We actually talked a lot about that on the show last night. The difference between an administrator and a leader, you know, putting that out there. But, you know, thinking of how you know, kind of frame of going like, what is it about that kind of like a gut reaction or a reflex to say, shut it down. We're not going to have that talk. Potentially now I'm going to frame it this way. In 2024, after the attacks on critical race theory, the attacks on just teaching factual history, have we potentially even ramped up to the point where can you blame some leaders who say, oh my God, just don't say a darn thing?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are, cowardly principals and, you know, in every school system, cowardly administrators who just don't want to tangle with any of these issues. And I really think if you're going to be a school leader, you have to understand that that's part of the job, that you are, you're going to have to take a stand over and over again on things that really, really matter.
Well, and so that's the part. It's like you're going to make a stand. And when you, quote, think you're not making a stand by being neutral, again, that in and of itself is I think the way you said that, is a cowardly stand. Neutrality, you know, sorry, that doesn't get you off the hook. That just means that you're not willing to engage. But, yeah, the whole idea of current events, though, too, and I think about this, Nance, and I'll go back to, I'm a social studies teacher. I was an elementary school teacher most of the time, but you know, when I was in fifth grade, particularly my fifth graders, I started every day, no script, no lesson plan, no mandated standards, by talking about what was going on in the world, because fifth graders loved that stuff. They just and I never thought one time about going, gee, I wonder if I shouldn't talk about this stuff with my students. It didn't enter my head. And I swear, if you had those students now who are in their 40s, I bet most of them would say, oh yeah, we love that.
Oh yeah. In the blog, I wrote about an incident when I was teaching middle school band, where on the way to school, I heard, you know, Kurt Cobain's body was found, and got to school, and here are kids in the homeroom. These girls are crying. They're really upset. And I can imagine most teachers just cutting it off at the pass and, you know, okay, time to start. But taking just a few minutes to hear from them made all the difference that day.
Well, and that's, you know, I think about that. That's the role of a professional. That's the role of a teacher, is to recognize, too, that, you know, and all of this push for, you know, high quality curriculum, which really is just saying we're buying a script for you because we want you to stay on script. You think about those moments and I remember that event, and I remember some of my students at the time, too, and they were fifth graders. And they were concerned. They had real emotions that, you know, that they were dealing with. And so the idea that a teacher would essentially say, look, you know, put your emotions away. Right. We've got redistribution and dividing by fractions we got to get to right now, you know, because that's not good teaching.
It's not. And the trying to squeeze that out of the curriculum, you know, squeeze any unauthorized but genuine information or sharing or helpfulness that.
Which it's frustrating, because now as we're thinking and talking about this, you know, it's really now adding to my going, well, geez, this is another reason why your best teachers, and I say this, are saying, you know, I don't think I can take it anymore. Or the ones who are saying, I can't take it anymore, I'm done, I'm going, you know what, yes. Costco is a much better way to get through life, because, you know, I can put out and serve samples and I don't get yelled at. And yep, it's just like, this adds to the teacher exodus. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest tonight, Nancy Flanagan, her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, the title, Ignoring the Real World in the Classroom. In other words, when kids want to talk about what's really going on in the world, why do we always tell them, or not us, but leaders particularly, administrators, come down and say, don't do that, don't do that. Hey, if you remember something like that happening when you were in school, give us a call when we get back.
Eagle 1490 AM.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The State Law Library will be renamed for Lavinia Goodell, the first woman lawyer in Wisconsin. Goodell moved to Wisconsin in 1871 and drafted a bill to guarantee women the ability to practice law in Wisconsin, which became law in 1877. The Law Library was named for former conservative Justice David Prosser. Turning waste from factory farms into fuel may not be the green energy boon its supporters say it is. Chris Hunt is a researcher for the Socially Responsible Agriculture Project. He says biogas doesn't solve the problem.
If we put money toward biogas, we're essentially helping to subsidize and further entrench industrial livestock production.
Biogas supporters say anaerobic digesters can be responsibly regulated. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A pair of Republican candidates toured a farm in La Crosse County on Wednesday. Representative Derek Van Orden and Senate candidate Eric Hovde, who is challenging Democrat Tammy Baldwin this fall, were at Morningstar Dairy near Onalaska to talk about agriculture policy, including the farm bill. Both candidates said they heard about the burdens of environmental regulation on farming efforts. The farm has hosted other prominent Republicans, including a visit by former Vice President Mike Pence in 2020. The La Crosse County Board has two meetings tonight. One is an informational meeting about the county budget. The other is a regular meeting that will sort out several appointments to committees and handle rezoning requests. On the agenda tonight, the county board will also consider a resolution to accept a $100,000 energy innovation grant. The grant will help create a microgrid in downtown La Crosse, a collaboration between city and county government and Western Technical College. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Steve Martin says he doesn't like being in comedy clubs anymore because they remind him of his old stand-up days when he was starting out. Martin says when he walks into comedy clubs now, he can still taste the cheap wine in his mouth. Martin sat down with Oscar-winning documentarian Morgan Neville in L.A. to discuss his documentary, Steve, a documentary in two parts. The first part of the documentary covers Martin's days working at Disneyland and doing stand-up comedy. The second part covers his film career. It's really insightful and a great watch. Netflix is about to become more than virtual. The streaming service is looking to open up two entertainment complexes. Variety says they are being called Netflix Houses, and they will be located in Pennsylvania in a town called King of Prussia, please change that name, and Dallas, Texas. Netflix Houses will try to enhance the overall Netflix experience for consumers with pop-up live experiences of shows like Stranger Things and Squid Game. In a related story, Netflix is raising their monthly fee to $4,000. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and Friday, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the mid-60s, high near 80 Friday, and pockets of heavy rain. Storms around again Saturday, more heavy rain possible. A high into the low 80s. Beautiful Sunday, sunshine, and a high again, low 80s. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Earl Ingram.
On Friday's show, join me and my good friend Sandy Williams for our regular conversation. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Tanya bringing it in. A little bit of music there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. You can give us a call. Jump on the chat. If you're in Twitter, which was now X, I know we got to call it X. You're watching us live. You can see us there too. Facebook, you're watching us. YouTube, you're watching us. Yeah, you could. You know, if you don't want to call, you can send us a text. We'll read it online. You know, just be careful. You know, be gentle. Don't be too critical. L.A. Tom letting us know that his sister Ann from Chippewa Falls was one of those texters. And then Cam, you know, doing a little bit of AI out there. And even Johnny Lupinacci sends us a text right now saying things are going well. The show sounds great. However, the plane that he was on, the delays still continue to thwart him from being with us tonight. But anyway, Nancy Flanagan, ignoring the real world in the classroom, your blog, the reality, what we're talking about here is going teachers in those moments. And you say these are profound moments in history, whether it was the insurrection, the 9/11 attacks, the Kurt Cobain suicide, you know, the space shuttle Challenger, those moments. And those might be, I'm wondering if we're thinking about those as, they're kind of illustrations going, well, of course you would talk about that event at that time. And then going, no, we're actually saying, no, those are the events where we've found the most resistance. But then thinking about the way I was talking about when I was a fifth grade teacher, it was just a daily, you know, like a current events rehash. What's going on in the world? Did you watch the news last night? You know, did you see at that point I was living outside the Baltimore area and it was like, you know, did the Orioles win? You know, you talk about things just because being an informed citizen was part of my job as a teacher.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Jess Piper, because in addition to writing this beautiful blog that kind of inspired me, in January 6, 2021, this happened to her. And in February of 2021, she left teaching.
Right.
And because she can't, she was going to run for the state legislature and she couldn't be a teacher and run for office at the same time. You have to kind of think about that, you know, because if you're a butcher, you can run for office. You know, if you're an electrician, if you're a rich moron, you can run for office. But if you're a teacher, you can't, at least not in Missouri. And she quit because it eventually occurred to her. She'd been a teacher for 16 years. So right. This wasn't one of those, you know, I've had it moments that you sometimes hear with younger teachers. She was a veteran teacher and she eventually realized that she was going to get nowhere if she remained in the classroom. If she wanted to have and we need, you know, a million teachers like Jess Piper.
We did that. I mean, Johnny and I, we talk about anytime we, in fact, that was what led us to Jess Piper, because she's on the show, is this whole idea of being a teacher running, you know, running for office. And it stinks that she had to, in Missouri, you know, pick one or the other. But we are, you know, we try to highlight teachers all over the country who, you know, whether they're running for school board, whether they're running for state legislature, whether they're running, you know, some of them, even if they want to take on the role of that top executive office, we want to say that's what all teachers should be doing. Talking about modeling. I mean, you're as a teacher, people seem to think it's like you are a public, you know, a public school teacher. Our responsibility to the curriculum, yes. Okay, so I know you're music and band, and so everybody's going, so Nancy, just stick to the damn instruments. Or, you know, Tim, just stick to the happy history. You know, don't. But it's like, sorry, we're public school teachers. behind or before maybe even the standards and the curriculum is our commitment to students and citizenship in this country and what it means to be, when you leave public school, to be a contributing member of this democracy. And I feel like these attacks, and Nancy, I'll have you react to this, that these attacks, whether it's a principal who says you can't do that or whether it's now a state legislature creating laws that say you can't do that, those are attacks on democracy.
And I think that teachers are kind of the low-hanging fruit here, because there is such a large occupation. There's a lot of turnover. A lot of people don't seem to realize that we're in crisis in terms of having enough people to fill the classrooms. And so when that happens, instead of, you know, they go directly to, well, how can we lower the bar? And that makes it worse. I mean, really, truly, about, you know, maybe 5 years ago, everyone was talking about Finland and how Finland is really picky about who gets to be a teacher. You know, there are lots of bars you have to cross, and they're exceptionally well trained, you know, a master's level of training before they, and then a long actual, field experience, and not just 16 weeks of student teaching, which is sometimes okay, but they prepare people and they're really fussy about who gets into the classroom. And then maybe you don't have to worry about, are they going to do exactly what we tell them? You're sending them into the classroom with the conviction that they're a good citizen, that they care about kids, that they have the requisite knowledge and pedagogical skills to run a classroom. And we should be doing that. We have the money and we have the institutions and we have the people. But we're not, we're outsourcing things, you know, the reading wars, you know, we got some legislature trying to pick a reading curriculum.
Right.
We have lost trust. And
let me stop you on that, just because the way you framed that, it made me think about that. We're okay with the state legislature picking reading curriculum. We're not okay with teachers addressing current events. This is the state of the world you just described, Nancy Flanagan.
Right.
Legislators picking reading curriculum, teachers being forbidden from being teachers, which to me, buying the reading curriculum, if you're a legislature, that already is, you're forbidding teachers to be teachers. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's crazy. Phone call. Yeah. L.A. Tom. There he is. He's on the line. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I don't think we should be repressing anything, whether it's a story on the news or whatever it is that might be out there, because honestly, that's what gets kids engaged. You know, they say, like, why do we study history? Well, we study history so we don't repeat it. Well, if we're repeating it right now, then it might be a good time to actually show the analogy of what it was like years ago so they can see, wow, this is happening again, and this is why we study history. And I really think that part of the problem, again, like I always say, is money and politics, Citizens United. Yep. And I think that the teaching profession – unfortunately, the way that they want teachers to be is just like how they want the corporations to have their workers, which is you're just another cog in the wheel. You're replaceable. And that way they can make more profit. And it's, you know, when you start thinking out of the box, or you're a teacher that starts thinking out of the box, and think about the woman in the Milwaukee area about the Rainbow Land, or, you know, whatever it might be. Thinking outside of the box, or talking about what's going on actually when it's going on, like you guys did with 9/11, or, you know, the Kurt Cobain thing, you know, that right there shows you that they just want you to be a trainable employee.
is really what they want. And I think it's really quite disgusting because creativity does not flow until a person is really, truly free. And when they're truly free is when they can feel free to talk about anything and not have to, you know, repress or not talk about the issues that actually are affecting them on that day.
L.A. Tom, dropping some truth there. Really love it. L.A. Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, and that Waukesha, it was actually Waukesha outside of Milwaukee, the teacher, Melissa Temple, the Rainbow Land. And, yeah, the whole idea, even that, I saw this. Okay, you know, current events, you know. So in Louisiana, Nancy Flanagan, you saw now what's happening down there, right?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments now will be posted in your public school classroom, mandatory by the government. I was just thinking, okay, there's a couple of different ways. One, I saw a meme out there going, it's like, really, we're not allowed to hang a rainbow, but we are mandated to hang the Ten Commandments. Okay, what kind of crazy world? But then you're thinking, wouldn't it be kind of cool to go down there in Louisiana? I'll come down and do this teaching for you. You brought the kids in and had a current events lesson on going, you see what's up above me here now? There used to be a picture of Abraham Lincoln. We've got 10 commandments. Let's talk about these 10 commandments, students. I bet that would get me in trouble.
You think? the response to that from, you know, the ACLU and the legal community has been instantaneous and encouraging. That was my big fear, that people would just say, it's Louisiana, and, you know, then they just let it go. But you can't. You have to step up and stop that. But
I would see this. I would see it as an invitation. And I know again, I'm not there, but I would see it as an invitation to go, like, you've just brought me a great curriculum to my classroom. Thank you, Louisiana legislature, because now we're going to dig into the history of religion. We're going to look deeply. We're going to look at, you know, where did these come from? Oh, we're going to look at, are there comparable 10 commandments in other religions? Let's look at those, and be a fully inclusive. You know, all religions are now welcome since you all opened the door. I don't know. I'd probably get in trouble, though, like I said.
These kinds of things have been happening for a long time. And what's different now, I think, is that legislatures and policymakers are no longer threatening. Now they're actually acting. Mm-hmm. And there have been probably hundreds of cases of teachers who have crossed the boundary and put on a play that had a controversial topic, or had their students read something or write something or go somewhere. I have a friend who was a middle school band director who took her kids to see the Detroit Symphony and then stopped for pizza. And there were so many kids, they sent them to the upstairs room where there happened to be a pole. And one of the kids came in and showed that they knew what the pole was for. Oh, and some parent took a picture and then went back and reported, you know, all the work she did to take all these seventh graders to out to eat and to the symphony, and they tried to get her fired, and she's the best. So people are acting on these things now. They've been given permission to do that by the political environment.
Nancy Flanagan, the blog Teacher in a Strange Land, the topic, ignoring the real world in the classroom. Boy, we brought up a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, more than anything, you wonder why teachers don't want to do the work anymore. And I don't mean the work of teaching, being in that classroom, the oppression that we put them under and the realities like that. You just laid out that story. Nancy Flanagan, thank you so much for busting pencils with us tonight.
My great pleasure.
All right. And when we get back, Tim and Anya are going to break it down right when we get back.
Rise above.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Ever take a vacation? Let's talk about hotels and junk fees. Junk fees are these surprise charges that just pop up when you check in. They're called resort fees or curation fees or some other vague junk that wasn't included in the price when you booked your hotel online. Hotel junk fees cost travelers an average of $26 a night, roughly $3 billion a year, according to Consumer Reports. So how do you avoid them? You do your homework. Now, sometimes a website's going to have like a display total price button that you can click, but the surest way is to just pick up the phone and call the hotel before you book. While they're not obligated to tell you anything online, I found that friendly front desk folks usually can give me the straight story. It's worth $26 a night to make that phone call. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, the number's 855-752-4842. Great guest, Nancy Flanagan, blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, title of the blog, Ignoring the Real World in the Classroom. Man, we went all over the place with this. But, you know, Anya, the idea that, you know, for some reason, we're going to censor current events. I'm almost to the point of going like, if I were in a classroom again teaching now, I don't think I could do it, because I mean, the whole idea of current events was just something that I always believed was part of my job.
Yeah, I, no joke, being barred from teaching current events or being barred from openly discussing, frankly, history, it was actually the final straw that pushed me out of education as well. I got reprimanded. I was getting reprimanded for a lot of things that didn't really matter for reasons that were outside of it. But the final straw was I was given a note, not a written note, a verbal note, that the lesson plan I taught on, an impromptu lesson plan on what the Soviet Union was for my third and fourth graders, who were supposed to be learning Jewish geography about Jewish communities in Africa. We got interrupted somehow about Russia. And they go, well, there's no Jews in Russia. And I went, well, there actually are a lot of Jews in Russia. There were even more. There's less now. Well, why are there less Jews in Russia now? It must be, in my kids, you know, the Russia-Ukraine conflict was going on. This predated the Israel-Hamas conflict. And they're going, but Russia's bad. Russia started a war. There can't be any Jews there. And if they are, they must be bad. I was like, well, guys, you know, you have to understand the Soviet Union was this. And yes, it was hard for Jews to live there. Many left, but some still remain, blah, blah, blah. I really, truly ended it with, and the Soviet Union was a conglomerate of countries whose leaders made many poor decisions, and it hurt people, unfortunately. And now that union of countries no longer exists, there's a bunch of different countries, including Russia. And the note I got was, no joke, I had been both too hard on the Soviet regime, which is an interesting note. Okay. I was too hard on the Soviet regime, but I also went too easy on them. I didn't provide a clear enough criticism of the intricacies of the political happenings of the Soviet Union for my third and fourth graders who weren't, wasn't our topic that day.
Right.
That complaint from my supervisor at that time was, I went home and I really looked in the mirror and realized I have to leave education, and ended up only a month later in this very studio. So good things happen.
Well, I was going to say, Busted Pencils got the big win on that. So administrator who did that to Anya, but you know, what? But now though, see, like, you know, put it in there as we're leaving, you know, current events, how do you avoid them? Because yeah, and this is a reality in Louisiana now, the Ten Commandments are going up in classrooms. And Can you imagine being a teacher and a student going, hey, what are those up there for? And you're going, hey, we can't talk about that right now.
I also can't imagine, and again, I'm going to say it, I was a Jewish Sunday school teacher, so the Ten Commandments, Torah, very normal to me. If we can't talk about current events, how are we squaring the rule, do not covet thy neighbor's wife on the wall? And are these school districts going to start enforcing anti-adultery law since they're living by the... Just as the religious scholar in the room, I'll just pipe in. The Ten Commandments, there's some like age inappropriateness even in that, friends.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Bible is age inappropriate. I would know. I had to try to teach it to little kids. So I'm very confused, truly, in what world that is okay and not. For example, during the Clinton administration, would the conversation of coveting in this way have been allowed since it is in the Ten Commandments? But if it's a, I don't know how they would square that. That's all I'll say. Yes.
It's crazy. It's just, you know, he's sitting there going, and I said, it invites the opportunity. And it's just an example though, of being in a classroom. So we're asking you out there, listener, you know, to imagine that you have to ignore the day, what's happening during the day. Oh, and L.A. Tom texted us back. You see that? Anya, too harsh comment? He's wondering who that harsh comment was about.
Yeah, did the too harsh comment come from Trump? And I'll just say, Tom, if that supervisor could know that their comment seemed to come from Trump, boy, I think some brains would have really been exploded that day. Tom, you should have been in some of those staff meetings, I think. But
hey,
truly, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Well, I may be like, what? How? I thought LA Tom hung up. Hey, we said you can participate. You can text. You're on the Facebook watching us. You're on the X, the Twitter. You're on YouTube. You guys can jump in here, man. Send us a text. You know, you don't have to call in. That's okay. We love it when you call, though. It's 855-752-4842. Ten Commandments going up in your classroom. What do you think about that? You know, my guess is that, you know, tomorrow night, Friday night wrap up, though. Yeah, I've been kind of holding this story, snuck out, but, you know, and I'm keep it framed in the topic today, though, of going, it's current events and the whole idea of keeping teachers from talking about it. I'm imagining teachers in Louisiana right now. I've created this scene in my head, and because, you know, I'm imagining I was teaching fifth grade, I'm there, I'm doing what I'm doing, and down walks the principal and the maintenance person with a ladder and, you know, a big frame placard. And they're like, you know, Mr. Slecker, you're going to have to just give us a minute here. We got a mandate from the state government. We need to hang this up in your room. I'm like going, well, okay, what is it? And they're going, well, after we put it up, though, I don't want you talking about it, though.
These events don't are too current. Don't talk about them.
Right, right. Mm-mm. It's just like, wait a minute, you're hanging the Ten Commandments in classrooms and you're literally going to say, now let's not talk about this. Busted pencils, man. Loving it. 855-752. Probably not going to have enough time. L.A. Tom again. First one, I am the Lord that God alone. I have strange, not God.
I think there's some spelling errors, but the phrasing, I am the Lord, your God, you shall have no God above me is the first commandment. And I think he's right. Some people treat Trump kind of like a god. So I don't know how they're going to square that one either.
Oh, it's so tough. It's busted pencils. Yeah. Thursday night, tomorrow night, Friday, weekly wrap up, talking about everything. Great guests. But yeah, hey, bring it tomorrow, though. Let's talk about this right away when we open the show. Ten Commandments. Are you looking for them? All right. Maybe I got another commandment. Commandment. Have a good night. See y'all tomorrow.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be talking with Professor Mary Ellen O'Connell of the Notre Dame School of Law. We'll be talking about the law of war and how it applies in Gaza.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier.
Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.